This is RevereRadio.net, the alternative to the alternative. Same old, same old, same old, same old, same old,
same old, same old, same old. Are you bored with the broken record talk shows? You know, giving you that same old, no new ideas, no new music, just news regurgitation. Then tune in to Save Your Generation, because we're breaking the monotony of the same old talk radio. I'm on RevereRadio.net.
Murder, murder, Jesus. Catholics walk out of murder.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
I am the message. Save your generation.
You are listening to Save Your Generation on Reveal Radio Network.
Radio consuming the transmission, beaming from the mountain top using horror ammunition. With extreme prejudice, we're trying to terminate our mission.
Mic check 1, 2. Without further ado, you're listening to Save Your Generation on RevereRadio.net. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. It is Wednesday once again, 7 p.m. on the EST. You know where to be to listen to me. I flow off top, nonstop, body rock, thunder top. No, what is going down out there? All right. I'm bugging, I'm going wild, because mainly because I don't have a planned show tonight. For the second week in a row, my scheduled guest is falling through. Last week, if you heard the show, I played about an hour of audio from this movie. It's a great film. I was going to have the maker of that movie on tonight, so I asked for all of you to send me questions over at revereradio.net message board, but I won't be able to ask him any questions. I also got some in the email. Thanks for those who participated in that. Hopefully, if you didn't participate and you want to, go back and listen to my show from last week in the archives over at saveyourgeneration.info. New site coming soon. Still working out the kinks in that. Thank you, Rob Revere, very much for helping me out, because I'm never going to get around to doing no site. I mean, if you've ever seen tiredofbeingalive.com, everybody can see my great HTML skills. That's about the extent of my web design. But, you know, sometimes it's better to just keep it real simple. But for this, maybe I will hire someone out there. Anybody listening who wants to help me out and do an original, not one from a template, you know. But the template's going to have to do for right now. But if anybody out there wants to design me something, hey, feel free. But, so yeah, last week I played the clip from that. I thought I was going to have him on. I will definitely be having him on sometime in the future, because it is very, very interesting, the stuff that he says, and it's all backed up by verses, which is something I respect. If you're going to make a claim, back it up with verses and show me how what the status quo has told us is contradictory to reality. You know, and that's exactly what he did. He showed how Israel, the state of Israel, is not the true Israel of the Bible. Therefore, Pat Robertson and all these other fake, quote-unquote, Christians who support Israel in everything they do, the bombing of innocent people, just as they support the United States in everything they do, these are the hypocrites. These are the false people. These are the ones who wish to sit in the highest places, as the Messiah describes them as. And that's what they all do. That's why they all want to be royalty, and they want to be called pastor, they want to be called rabbi. They want to be called these high names, they want to feel better than you. Those are the people you're supposed to turn against and come out from amongst these people. Come out of the corporate church, Babylonian beast system. But tonight, so what are we going to do instead? Instead of speaking with... I think his website, if you want to check out, read some of the stuff he did, it's kofah.com, that's C-O-F-A-H.com, and it's that stands for Come Out From Among Her, and that's what he's calling people to do, come out from among the beast. It's a great, very informational DVD, you should pick it up. And alright, so what are we going to talk about tonight, since we don't have our planned guest? Well, there's a lot of things going on this week and this April month of pagan month of April, with pagan happenings happening all week. Sunday was Easter, or Ishtar, as it is correctly stated. Ishtar, the pagan goddess, our fertility goddess. So, the eggs and the rabbit, yeah, it's all fertility. You guys know. And South Park, just as I said last week, they didn't really discuss any of that. They just, if you watch, they poo-pooed everything, and they kind of hinted towards the secrecy and the rituals and how everything's pagan. But then at the end of it, just said to shut up about it. Who cares? Go along with it. It's just tradition. Just go along with it. Shut up. And that's the, I think that's the path that everyone takes. That's why they say, you know, the path of righteousness is the narrow path. It's the road less traveled. So you can go on the broadened path, but I choose to take the narrow path. And I will continue to take such paths. Because that's the only path that leads to the place I need to be. Any other path is going to take me somewhere I don't want to be. So why, if I know that this is not the right way to go, why would I go that way? You shouldn't. You shouldn't want to go that way. So what are we going to talk about tonight? Maybe we'll talk about... I'll just play some clips from stuff. Maybe, you know, I heard something on the Power Hour yesterday that I've been thinking about a lot. Because I was a big fan of that. If you never heard them on GCN, they come on early in the mornings. Dave and Joyce. Dave did that movie, In Plain Sight, 9/11 film. But I was always a, you know, I like the information they give, especially because they give good information about what I think is most important, what you put in your body. They talk about food a lot. They talk about gardening and things that those are my interests, eating and gardening. So they give good information in those aspects, as well as, you know, the New World Order, the government type things. But today they were talking, yesterday they were talking about this boycott that's going on that I actually read before on Republic Broadcasting site about a trucker boycott. So they were asking truckers to call in and tell what they thought, and I thought, well, I know a trucker. I wish I could get him to call in. Maybe I can, you know, maybe I will try to get my trucker friend on the line and see what he thinks and see if he's going to be participating and see if he's going to be affected, because from what the Power Hour was saying, everyone's affected. Every American, it's so bad. And the Mexicans are, they only have a sixth grade reading level and sixth grade this and the stuff, the argument they were given didn't sound too convincing. And funny, the first caller, the person that called in, the very first person said, yeah, I'm a trucker, and most truckers don't have anything besides a sixth grade, you know, you don't need anything higher than that to be a trucker. And he kind of just debunked everything they were saying, and I thought it was hilarious. Maybe I could find the clip of that, because when I first heard about this boycott, I thought it was something that might be a good idea, but now when I see deeper into it, it is just a straw man argument. Again, just like with the illegal immigrant, everything is hidden racism, and it's a straw man. You want to point the blame at someone, and instead of pointing the blame at who is truly to blame, which is the people in charge, the corporations, the people who put this system into order, into play, you point the finger at the straw man, the person who's only trying to make a living just like you are. So maybe I'll try to find that clip too and play that. Maybe I'll try to get my own trucker friend on the line. Maybe I'll play a clip from this Jay-Z thing. You're like, Jay-Z, what? Well, it's just gonna really put together and illustrate something I've always been said, that corporate church, they're all crooked. None of them are telling the truth. What they're trying to do is take a little bit of truth, mix it to fund their agenda, to try to trick you into believing and giving money into what they think that you should be giving, basically to them. And this really illustrates it in something that this might be old news, but it was new to me, so I might share it with you too. There's a lot. I mean, there's so many things. There's 6.5 billion people. We need to talk about that. There's a lot to discuss, even though we don't have a guest, but we could have a guest still. So why don't you stay tuned to Save Your Generation? And that's just a little... Let's play some songs, maybe, because that'll be a good way to get my head straight, is with some songs. Wednesday, April 11th on the pagan calendar. Save Your Generation. Save your name.
Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, Go up against this land and destroy it. Then said Eliakim and Shebna and Joah unto Rabshakeh, Speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But Rabshakeh said, Hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak to these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you?
Now you do what they told you.
Stop doing what the Babylonian beast machine tells you to do. Listen to Save Your Generation. Now in its all-new time, 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights on RevealRadio.net.
Save Your Generation. Pulling you from the flames of hell since 2006.
Burn! Burn! If you're gonna burn!
We are back here on this Wednesday, April 11th edition of Save Your Generation on RevereRadio.net. And we are joined by a past guest who, if you haven't heard him on the show before, I am positive that you are going to be hearing increasingly more about him in the very near future. He is a United States congressional candidate in his home state of New Jersey under his own founded legalized marijuana party. His name is Mr. Ed Fortune, a.k.a. NJWeedMan.com. Thank you for taking the time out again to join us here on this broadcast, Revere Radio.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
It's doing great. I was checking out your site earlier this week, and I noticed you have a really big event coming up later this month. It looks like something that shouldn't be missed by anyone. I remember you mentioned it briefly when we spoke after the show you did with Jello Biafra in New Jersey. But give us a lowdown so people can start planning their I know I'm planning mine. Everybody needs to start planning your 420 weekend trip. So what's going on with that?
Well, you know, I always call myself a peaceful, proud, patriotic pothead. And this is on 420. You know, we call it our holiday, our stoner holiday. I'm going to have one of those patriotic events at the Liberty Bell, or actually it's at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, which is one of the most recognized symbols of liberty in the entire world. On Independence Mall, you have Independence Hall, which is where our U.S. Constitution was basically written. Our Bill of Rights was basically written. The Declaration of Independence was written. It used to be the capital of the United States of America. The Liberty Bell is situated on Independence Hall, and the U.S. Constitution Center is on Independence Mall in Philadelphia. And in that, and all of those are a stone's throw away from Penn's Landing. And if anyone doesn't know who William Penn is, or what Penn's Landing is, was named after William Penn. If you don't know who William Penn is, you ought to look him up because he's actually responsible for most of our fundamental rights. The First Amendment, you can say, is directly linked to William Penn. The Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, and Seventh Amendment. Without going one into great detail. William Penn was a Quaker in England. In 1690, he was prosecuted basically for having an illegal religion, and publicly, he had a public sermon where he publicly was preaching his religion. And this event that I'm having, I'm calling it also a tribute to William Penn, because basically that's what we will be doing. I will be delivering a religious sermon at 4:20 p.m. on 4:20 and on 4:21, by the way. It is a 2-day event. We're going to repeat it because on Friday, 4:20, there are some people who just can't get out of work. So we're going to repeat it on 4:21. And this event is not just a pothead event. It's a call to end the war. When I say end the war, I'm talking about all our wars. Our number one war, our foreign war, we're talking about the war in Iraq, which has already killed over 3,200 Americans. Probably at least 100,000 Iraqis have been directly killed, and close to 600,000 indirectly killed by our illegal, aggressive war in Iraq. But also, this is, you know, because, like I said, it's a stoner holiday, and it's an opportunity for people who believe that marijuana in particular should be legal. It's a time for it to step up. I mean, our greatest and longest war is not the war in Iraq. It wasn't World War II. It wasn't even Vietnam. Vietnam was our second longest war. Right now, our third longest war is the war in Iraq, but our longest war is our war on drugs, which basically started in 1970 with the Controlled Substance enactment of the Controlled Substance Act signed by President Nixon. And we've basically been fighting a war on drugs since. And as most of us know, and most of your listeners should know, our war on drugs is as much of a failure as our war in Iraq. Well over 3,000 people are killed every year as a result of our war on drugs. And I don't mean because they consume drugs. I mean because our government wages this war. It disrupts inner cities, disrupts even the countryside. It turns common citizens against each other, ratting, snitching, talking to the government. The government snatches up young men, throws them in jail. People are fighting over substances that are pretty cheap, actually, like marijuana, just costs water and sun, but because of our war on drugs, you know, you have marijuana now going for $5,000 a pound. And people fight and kill over money. And the black market is generated by our war on drugs, our self-inflicted war on drugs. War on drugs, which I call a outrageous violation of the principles of freedom that this country was supposed to have been founded on. How could we call this a free country when our government tells us what we can and cannot ingest into our own bodies?
And that's why this event coming up is so important, and anybody who's listening right now needs to try to get out there, because there couldn't be a better place to hold this. This is, if anybody believes, for example, the Muslims believe that Mecca is their holy land, so they take a pilgrimage to Mecca because that's where it began. But if you believe in this system, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, then this Independence Mall in Philadelphia, that is your Mecca. This is where you need to go. You need to take a pilgrimage this coming up on 4/20, 4/21, April 20th and 21st of this month. Get out there and show support for true freedom, because if you are for any type of prohibition of any substance, then you are not truly for freedom. So you need to come out and join Ed Fortune and join the Legalized Marijuana Party and join Philly Normal in this event, because it's going to be something to be remembered. This is civil disobedience. This is the same as in the 60s when blacks would go and sit somewhere because it was quote unquote illegal. There was laws that said that black people couldn't sit in a certain place, but they were going to go sit there. So there are laws that say that we can't go ingest this plant, or we can't have this plant. So we're going to go there and do what they say we cannot do, because we know that that is the truly just thing. That is true freedom. And I commend you and everyone putting this together. So how, what is, where can we find out about this? On your website, I'm sure.
You can go to my website, my personal website at njweedman.com, or you can go to the legalizedmarijuanaparty.org, TLNT.org, and of course, as you mentioned, Philadelphia Normal. So go to Philly Normal. Also, they have it right on their homepage with details and links. And actually, I was just informed today that High Times actually put it on their 420 events calendar too. So if you go to High Times, you can look it up and see. And even if you're not in the Philadelphia area, I still encourage people to go to a 420 event. There are 420 events planned all over the country, you know, basically by peaceful, proud, patriotic potheads. And most of them, by the way, are including protests or voicing opposition to our war in Iraq. And in case people don't know, it was the pothead community that helped, that was seriously a part of ending the war in Vietnam. So maybe, you know, this is what I call, you know, it's time to spark a revolution here in America. I call it a reefer revolution. It's time to spark a reefer revolution. And hey, maybe this 420 event, or, you know, just the fact that on 420 there will be so many potheads getting together and talking about freedom and ending these wars, that maybe it will be the time. Maybe this will be the event, the date that the reefer revolution begins. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, you know, all it takes is strength in numbers. As long as we can get an output of people showing them that we are the majority here, people who want peace, people who want true freedom, we are the majority. And there's a small minority who's been keeping us down and who's been enslaving us. So once we all stand up and speak out against this small minority, then the majority will reign. And, this brings up another protest that's coming up that I wanted to get your opinion on, because you are a trucker, correct? Are you an independent trucker, or you're a contractor?
Yes, I am. I'm a owner operator, independent trucker on my own truck. I lease one from time to time with other companies, but I'm an independent trucker. Basically, I'm an independent trucker, you know, for numerous reasons, but I'm a free spirit type of guy. And, you know, it's kind of hard for people like me to work for other people. You know,
well, I can totally identify with that.
I want to go. I got to lay down and go to sleep, go home when I want to go to sleep. And basically, if I decide I want to go to Philadelphia tomorrow, I want to go to Philadelphia tomorrow. If I want to go to Seattle, Washington tomorrow, I want to go there.
See, that's the kind of, that I think is what everybody needs to do, and stop, you know, being a slave for someone else. Be your own boss. And that's really the true, I think that, to me, that's true freedom. I can't consider myself free if I am now bowing down to some other guy who's making way much more than me. You know, I need to be my own boss. And that's why I really respect truckers. And that's something to me is a very noble profession. But I was listening to the radio yesterday, and I heard that there was going to be some big trucker protest, or like a boycott happening. And when I first heard about this, I thought it sounded like it was something to be behind, because, you know, I thought about people like you who are independent truckers would be losing their jobs and losing their way of making an income. But then when I heard the argument further, it sounded like it was just rhetoric, and people even who were calling into the show that I was listening to were saying that this is a straw man, this isn't going to bring about any change. So I just wanted to know if you heard that there was a massive trucker protest calling for truckers to boycott and have a big coming out to fight against this because of Mexican truckers now driving in the United States. I'm kind of confused of what's
all right,
really.
Well, here's, I'll tell you what, as a truck driver, I hear a lot of scuttlebutt on the CB. So I have been hearing a lot on the CB about guys talking about it. But what has happened though with the trucking industry is you have these massive companies, these big, large national companies who've basically taken over the trucking industry in the last 20 years. And these trucking companies are also affiliated with a lot of the huge national and international business conglomerates. And what happened was after NAFTA was enacted in the early 1990s, I believe it was 1993, a lot of corporations moved down to Mexico along the Rio Grande River. So you have now, for the last 10, 12 years, Mexican truck drivers have been bringing the basically their American products to the American border, and American truck drivers have been, you know, picking up the loads, like in border towns like Laredo, border towns like El Paso, Brownsville, Texas, Yuma, Arizona, all these towns along the border has been American truck drivers pick up loads and transport the goods all over the country. And you can say what you want to say about NAFTA. I have always disagreed with a lot of the things that were implemented in NAFTA, but that's a whole other topic. Well, now this other step is occurring. Sometime in the next month or two, whenever Congress goes ahead and ratifies it, the Mexican truck drivers now, basically under a subtitle of NAFTA, are going to be able to, not only are they going to be bringing the products to the American border, but they're going to be transporting them. So you're going to have, say, Mexican truck drivers who are going to be transporting goods from the Mexican border to San Antonio, to Miami, to New York, to Philadelphia, to, you know, all over the country. Now, me, myself, when I listen to and discuss the immigration issues, a lot of times I've always viewed the immigration argument as kind of veiled racism.
Same here.
You know, we can get into that, too. That's a whole different topic, though. But the issue here with the with allowing the truckers to come across the border and basically take jobs and take loads is you're directly affecting jobs that truck drivers are doing now. You know, when you talk about a lot of immigration issues, a lot of these immigrants are taking jobs that Americans just don't want to do anymore. But this is different because they are taking jobs that people, Americans, are doing, have been doing for years. And all of a sudden now, and it's supposedly like an experimental thing. It's like it's going to be a limited, and they're going to limit the numbers of trucks, you know, like a couple thousand. Only a couple thousand trucks are initially going to be allowed in. Well, you know, I've always believed that a lot of things that occur here in America, especially detrimental things, are usually occur incrementally. You don't just all of a sudden tomorrow say, all right, tomorrow we're going to allow, you know, 100,000 Mexican trucks to show up at a border and do the work that Americans are doing. That wouldn't fly. But to start it off as a little small little 1,000 trucks or 2,000 trucks being allowed to deliver loads, that will pass because the vast majority of truck drivers aren't going to be affected. Now, what it's also going to do, these big national companies I was talking about, now, it will help them because it's a lot cheaper to have a Mexican truck driver bring his product from Juarez, Mexico, up to San Antonio, as opposed to having a American truck driver pick it up at El Paso and drive it into El Paso. So these national companies are actually in support of this, and it's all part of the economic dumbing down of America, the lowering of the quality of life of Americans. You know, we can get into the whole new world order concepts and arguments there if you want, but this is proof. Here it is. And not only is it now me, myself, I'm aware of this because I'm a truck driver. You know, so there's a lot of people out here who aren't aware of this that's going on. And there is a planned protest. Truck drivers are talking about shutting down and not working and this, that, and the other. But like, just like our pot warriors, you know, you get hundreds of thousands of people who smoke marijuana. Very few speak up. Same thing with this issue with the truck. Hundreds of thousands of people or truckers are basically bitching about it, complaining about it, whether it's on the TV or on the internet. Very few are actually, I believe, are actually going to shut down. Me, myself, I believe I am. I believe I'm, you know, I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to signal that. Am I going to tell whoever calls me for a load that, hey, I'm not working for the next couple of days in support of this, you know? No, I don't know of any protests where truck drivers are going to park somewhere and block highways or anything like that. It's basically being promoted as a shutdown. Just don't work on that weekend, that day.
Well, that's fascinating to me because I've, you know, whenever I hear about things like this, boycotts and protests being orchestrated, it never it never seems to solidify. And you're right. People don't go out in the numbers that need to be go out to show to make something happen. Even when you think of the anti-war protests, I've heard something called the Occupation Project. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it's where people like you get a group of people together and you go sit in your senator's office or you go sit in someone's office and you demand that they stop the war and you stay in there all day until you either can get them to sign something or you get taken out by the police. So, I mean, to me, these things only work if you have large numbers. If it's only a handful of people doing it, you know, it's not going to be in effect. And in the news, it's going to look like five crazies are in the governor's office again bothering him instead of, you know, the large numbers that it needs to take. But thankfully, we have true activists like yourself who get things together like this 420 protest, which I know people are going to come out in huge numbers for that because who could not be, behind something like ending the war on drugs and the war in Iraq. I mean, this is something that is costing lots of lives and lots of money and getting no results. But if you think about it, it actually is working in their favor because every time they have a war on something, what happens? Whatever they're fighting against goes up, which causes everybody to have to pay more money. You got the war on AIDS, the war on drugs, the war on terror. The war on everything always causes an opposite result of what the people think, but probably to the people in charge who are making the money, this is exactly what they've always wanted. So, you know, we're just sitting behind and hoping that other people figure this out. I know you are probably very busy, so I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I did want to ask you about one more thing I had saw recently on the internet, a video of you. This is probably from, I guess, almost about 10 years ago, maybe. Something about...
Uh-oh.
There was...
Yo, come on, would you get ready to drop on me?
It was something about shaving cream on a undercover cop or like a narc or someone. You put.
Yeah, I had... Oh, this was actually before my very first arrest in 1997. Oh, you must have saw that on YouTube.
Yes, I did. I saw it. There's a lot of videos of you on there.
Yeah. What happened was I happened to notice one day that this car was following me around. This van was following me around. At the time, I was going through a divorce, so I actually thought it was my ex. My ex had a private investigator followed me like 6 months prior to that. I wasn't in a divorce. It was a child custody situation. But she had hired a private investigator to follow me around at one point a few months before that. And then this day, I noticed this car followed me around. I thought it was an insurance guy or private investigator following me around. Well, anyway, I set up my camcorder and I go out and I kind of harass the guy. Basically, I shave and cream this car and everything. Which is funny, I have it all on video, but exactly 2 weeks later, I was arrested on a conspiracy to import marijuana from Arizona, which later on, that's when I realized that the person I shaving cream was not a private investigator or insurance agent. He was part of the task force that was investigating me for my smuggling activities, we'll call it. So, but it was funny. It lasted about two
well,
weeks.
That...
The humor about that lasted about 2 weeks. I later found out that there was a video from the inside of the van, but the police never would give it to me. It was too embarrassing. You can see that on YouTube. Go to YouTube and just type in New Jersey Weed Man. Type it all the way out. NJ, New Jersey, and then Weed Man. And then click on it, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's a bunch of videos, all the videos of you from CNAID and the debates. I really enjoy the debates. When you see the people, you know, you debating the other people, I think the people have good intentions, but they still seem that they just don't get it, you know. There are some people who you think they're... You call them the do-gooders, the people who think they're doing something good, but really they aren't getting the big picture. And hopefully one day these people will be the ones that, these are the people that we need to wake up to really end this war and to see what's really happening, to see beyond, you know, the Bush bashing and see what's really the bigger scheme of everything. But, I just want to thank you again for, taking the time to join us tonight on Save Your Generation. And, everybody, 420, April 20th and April 21st is at Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell, the place that this country was founded, Philadelphia, 1776. They call them the Philadelphia 76ers. Why? Because of 1776. This is where it all happened. This is the Mecca of this country, of this republic, of this, you call yourselves patriots. This is where the real patriots were. This is where they did it, everything. And this is where the true patriots are going once again, this upcoming April 20th. True patriots like Ed Fortune and everyone who will be out there joining him. And do you have any final words for us tonight?
Yeah, well, since you brought up the word do-gooder, I'd like to explain that, because if anybody goes to my website, njweedman.com, you will see I do criticize the do-gooders. And when I say do-gooders, these are people who think they're doing good. A perfect example of a do-gooder is President Bush right now. President Bush is one of these do-gooders. He thinks he's doing good. He, you know, if you question his righteousness, you know, he basically will bring in God and Jesus and this, that, and the other. But do-gooders, let me put in an example. When a do-gooder does something good for you, usually isn't good for you. A war on drugs is basically the idea and is led by the do-gooders. No, it's not good for most people. If you ever had a do-gooder do something good for you, you'll find out that it's usually not good for you. It's like a cat playing with a mouse.
Yeah, really.
It's not fun for the mouse.
What do you mean? The Patriot Act doesn't help us? The Patriot Act doesn't keep us safe? That isn't something good?
yeah, right. Yeah, look, tell the people of Iraq that. You know, they've had something good inflicted upon them by our president.
Yes.
You know, now,
we have freed them. Finally, they're free because of us. We did something very good. They're free.
Right.
They are liberated.
Usually a do-gooder, you can never convince them that what he's done in the name of goodness was right. You know, and that's what you have with the example of Bush right now. No matter how many people have died, no matter how long his so-called goodness has gone, he still thinks he's done something good. And you basically can't convince them. Same thing happens when you go to some social work or some born-again type or whatever out here in a war on drugs. They inflict their goodness on you by putting you in a cage. It usually isn't good for you.
Yeah, are they inflicted by taking your children away or doing something else that they think is good? Oh, it's good that a person doesn't have their parents now. There's nothing good about that, taking someone's children away. And that's something else that we could actually get into. I don't know how much time you have left. I didn't want to keep you too long, cuz I know you're very busy. You got a lot of stuff happening, but that's something else that are you currently involved in? I don't know the updates on your child custody case that you're in right now. Actually, all right, we're going to go to a quick break here on Save Your Generation. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about your upcoming child custody case, because that's something to me, having children myself, and everyone out there listening. I know a lot of people on Revere Radio and all of our listeners, you have children, you have families, so this is something that should concern you, because this is how the system works. So we're going to hear about this corrupt system and what it's put our guests through here on Save Your Generation.
Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not... I just did so much damage to my body and my brain. Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not,
I just did so much damage to my body and my brain.
Reverse the brain damage. It's not too late. Listen to Save Your Generation. Only on RevereRadio.net. Corporate media equals brain damage.
And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Yeah!
God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
Welcome back to Save Your Generation. We're joined with our guest, Ed Fortune of the Legalized Marijuana Party, congressional candidate, and founder of NJWeedMan.com, which is your resource to find out everything about fighting this drug war and how you can be a true patriot, a true activist, a true revolutionary. And what do they do to revolutionaries? They always try to do something. Anything. They kill you. They try to mess with you. They break you down financially, physically, any way that they can. Anything that they think that will get to you. And another tactic, which is the same tactic that the slave masters used to do, was to take your children. So we're going to discuss now with him what he's going through right now with a child custody case. And to me, it's probably out of everything, prison, anything else, to me, that's the worst thing that you can do to someone is, you know, take their flesh and blood away from them. So tell us a little bit about what is happening with that.
Okay. Well, actually, it's a very long story. I'll try to condense it. Yeah, you hit on something there that, let's see, where did I begin? Well, one, I'm pretty open that I'm not a Christian, which shouldn't be illegal in this country that professes to have freedom of religion. But the vast majority of people in this country are Christians. The judges are Christians, our lawmakers are Christians.
Supposedly.
You know, we have a few Jews here. We actually recently had a Muslim, elected into our Congress. But basically, we're a Christian nation, and Christian laws, Christian beliefs are turned into laws.
Yeah. I said they're Christians out in the open, but then in closet they go do whatever else that is they're going to do, whatever rituals and whatever satanic sacrifices and all the other stuff they got up their sleeve. But, you know,
right.
Out in the open, they want to condemn everybody who isn't a quote-unquote Christian like you and me. I mean, I myself, that's why I think this is most scary, is because I myself isn't outward not a Christian, but I do have a faith, and that faith does rely on the Bible. So what does that mean for people like you and me? You know, that's terrifying.
Right. Well, that's what's happening. I try to tell people, like, you know, I don't have a problem with the vast majority of Christians. I mean, my parents are Christians. I was initially raised as a Christian. I rejected it as a teenager, but later in life, I actually started endorsing and accepted the Rastafari way of life as my religion. Now, you know, what has happened is I have a daughter named Ajane, and her mother, after we broke up, went through a phase where she went and saw psychiatrists and psychologists and things like that, and she also joined the Pentecostal church and became one of these evangelical type Christians, these born again types, and she views me as not being a Christian as detrimental to our child. She refuses to allow me to be around my child, and I am pretty open about not being a Christian. I publicly advocate changing our marijuana laws, which I call religious laws. I believe that our marijuana laws are basically illegal because it violates the thoughts and beliefs of our Christian lawmakers, whereas other faiths regard marijuana as a sacrament. And I've argued that marijuana is a sacrament and it should be protected under the freedom of the Constitution. I believe it should be legal or protected by the Freedom of Religion and Restoration Act of 1993. But what's outrageous about this case is I've never tested positive for marijuana. I mean, that's why I'm still even a truck driver. I never tested positive for marijuana. My child custody case, I've gotten visitation several times. I've had visitation, and then my mother, Linda, just refuses to allow me to have visitation. She's never punished. She's not charged with contempt of court or anything. Whereas I myself, once or twice, in opposition or as a way of exposing the differences in treatment, I've refused to follow, say, child support issues. I was jailed. I've had my license taken from me. You know, you get locked up for a day or two, you pay, come back, you know, you pay money, and bam, they release you, they restore your license. And I'm a truck driver, so I can't have my license being taken. But that has happened to me because I refuse to pay child support because she refuses to allow me to see my daughter. Right now, currently, I haven't seen my daughter since July of 2005, and she lives 5 miles from me. I go past her house sometimes. I know she's there, and I can't see her. I have no contact with her. Mother despises me. Her mother, and it's basically, she didn't despise me before she became a born-again type, a do-gooder, as I call them. Now she's found support in the family court system of New Jersey. She comes to court with my newsletters, my website, with my public advocation to legalize the marijuana, which last time I remember, it's free speech. I am allowed to advocate any political opinion I want. But, you know, you were talking about what happens to revolutionaries. Listen, a couple years ago, I was actually a political prisoner because I publicly advocated the legalization of marijuana. I put commercials on TV advocating the legalization of marijuana. You can still see those on my website at nzweekend.com/censorship. Well, I was in prison for 5 months for making those commercials where, in the very first commercial, if you watch it, I'm actually talking about my child custody case. But, you know, eventually, in that case, a federal judge ordered me released, and he actually made a ruling that this man has every right to voice his opinion. The legalization of marijuana is a valid political issue in this country, and, you know, he's not causing any problems by joining this already public discussion. That was a ruling by Federal Judge Arenas on January 24, 2003. But yet, my ex refuses to allow me to have visitation, and the court judges, the state court judges, refuse to enforce my visitation. So she gets away with refusing to allow. She is, in effect, violating my right to religious freedom by keeping my daughter away from me because I don't share her faith. Because, as she puts it, I'm a criminal-minded heathen because I don't believe in that Jesus was the Messiah.
Well, that's because Jesus wasn't.
Jesus was a prophet. I believe that he was a godly person, but me, myself, I don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But to her, that is like some egregious statement and something that, you know, that I am should be reviled, and I should not be allowed to have my daughter around me. And the judges in the state court have allowed that. At one point in 2004, she actually went to court and asked the judge to change my daughter's last name from my last name to her last name because of my public political views. Last thing I knew, your public political views were legal. You can express them. They couldn't be used against you in some detrimental way, like having your kid's name changed from you. Well, anyway, Judge Sweeney, who I call Judge Shithead Sweeney, if you do a Google search on Judge Shithead Sweeney, you will come to a page where I discuss him. but anyway, he actually changed my daughter's name, which only encouraged her. That was in 2004, 2005. She just flat out stopped letting me see her. And each time I went to court, the judges refused to enforce my child visitation case. I finally have filed a federal action, and currently it's before a federal judge in Camden, New Jersey, a judge, I forgot his name right now, Judge Simantle, in U.S. District Court in Camden, New Jersey. But basically, I'm advocating that this is a egregious violation of my right to religious freedom. I have, you know, in 1865, blacks were made citizens. In 1866,
1866, the 14th Amendment was passed. In 1865, it was the 13th Amendment, made us citizens. In 1866, the 14th Amendment was passed. It allowed for due process, equal protection under the law. Now, me, I am not a Christian. I have a right to religious freedom. I know, and many people know, how Christianity was put on African Americans. It was through the institution of slavery. Slavery ended 140-something years ago. I have no reason, I have no desire to still follow the faith of the slavers. I don't have a problem with white people, but I have chosen years ago not to follow Christianity, which, you know, some people get irritated with me when I call Christianity the current form of Christianity. I call it the Caucasian religion. And I'm not a Caucasian. I have no reason to follow the Caucasian faith. And, but I'm being denied the right to have a regular visitation or custody or interaction with my own daughter because I openly don't follow Christianity. And like I said, slavery ended 200 years ago. I have every right, 140 years ago, I have every right to follow any faith I want to follow. And I have never done anything harmful to my daughter. Now, her mother thinks just my not believing in Jesus is harmful. Judge Morley in the state of New Jersey has apparently agreed, and he refuses to enforce my visitation. So, like I said, before a federal district judge, Judge Simantle out of the Camden District Court right now. I have it listed on my website. If you look on my website, right here at the top of the page, njweedman.com, it's a hyperlink, and the text says, I don't want Jesus, I want my child. If you click on that hyperlink, it kind of explains in greater detail this particular case. But that's my personal case, you know, and it's from the religious aspect. But all around the country, these same similar things happen to people who openly admit they smoke marijuana. You know, they have their kids taken from them, which is really crazy because marijuana is no more harmful than coffee. In fact, it's less harmful than coffee. More people die from coffee ingesting than they do from marijuana. But it happens. And if you look on the internet, you'll find a few stories out there. The only big magazine I know that ever done anything about it was Cannabis Culture magazine, which is actually a Canadian paper, but they chronicled how this happens in America. It doesn't happen anywhere else in the world, but it happens in America. And actually, by the way, Cannabis Culture actually has a great issue this month, April of 2007. It has a collage of pictures on their cover, and it's their activist issue. And actually, I'm on the front cover of Cannabis Culture magazine this month. So
everybody pick that up. Make sure.
Cannabis Culture. I like High Times, but Cannabis Culture is more in line with the activities of today. They're not as medical marijuana minded as some of our American publications have become in the last few years.
Yeah, I think people are leaning towards the medical because they think that that's their way to actually get it, I guess, socially accepted. But people need to realize that everything they've been told is a lie. Don't just get people to accept it because they think it's medicine now. Let's tell everybody the truth that never has it ever been wrong. But by admitting that means that now they years of people in prison and killed and all the money spent was a waste and they can't ever go back on that big lie. It's kind of like the whole war in Iraq. They can't admit that these billions and hundreds of billions of dollars and thousands of people dead were for nothing. So you can't just pull out and stop the lie. So, you know, we just continue on with these things while revolutionaries try to get the truth out to everyone. And without them, we'd all be lost. We'd all be watching Fox News and listening to CIA operatives Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity. So, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. I really do. I've always said that there are certain members of our media that... Oh, wait a minute. Our media is as controlled as any other nation's media. You know, we have all kinds of propaganda. There are some definitely some propagandists out there. I think we got terrorized into going to war in Iraq. Our own media and our own child custody case. This is incredible that people can have their kids taken for voicing their opinion. You have whole organizations like Normal, say, that they advocate the legalization of marijuana, which is what I do. But I've had my kid taken from that for me for that. And like I said, I've never tested positive for marijuana. Never. Yes, I got arrested in 1997 for marijuana, and it was a conspiracy to possess. I actually didn't possess it. I've been arrested at little protests several times, but never has that been a factor in my court case. It's always what I talk about. It's what I talk about. My free speech rights.
So you're a thought criminal, really, if you think about it.
I am. Actually, if you do a Google search on that, njweedman.com, thought criminal, I pop up. People have written stories, and they call it the thought crimes, and I've been featured in a couple of those. But getting to the medical marijuana aspect, I don't have a problem with medical marijuana. Medical marijuana, to me, is included as part of a subset of total legalization. I believe in total legalization, and I look at the war on marijuana from three fronts. I believe, me myself, I feel like I'm a field general on the spiritual front, and then there's the medical marijuana front, and then there's the recreational marijuana front. The recreational marijuana front actually encompasses far more than both the medical and the spiritual. There are more people who use it just socially, just to feel good than anything else. And there was a time when organizations like Normal advocated total legalization. But in the last 10, 15 years, they've turned into the medical marijuana reform group, if you ask me, and they've turned away from people who advocate total legalization. And again, I have no problems with the medical marijuana aspect. I totally believe in it. I've used marijuana medicinally myself. Trust me, when I get a headache, I don't pop a Tylenol. I twist one up and I smoke it all. I twist it up and I smoke it all. I don't do Tylenol. But at the same time, when I look at the medical marijuana movement, not trying to get into race, but I look at the medical marijuana movement as a way of getting Caucasians, whites, indoctrinated into the use of marijuana. And if you can get the vast majority of white people to accept the medical marijuana arguments and legalization, the theory is then they could turn and allow the total legalization, which in the meantime, though, that may take another 30 years. That may take, I believe that the fight should be for total legalization, and it should be now. And because of my advocation of total legalization, there are plenty of groups out there that advocate medical marijuana, but they won't touch me, won't look at me. I totally believe in Normal and believe in their mission, and I have links to their websites and stuff. Normal doesn't really appreciate me. I've applied for grants and things from organizations like MPP, to no avail. And there's a few other groups out there that I've tried to listen help from, and nothing, because I am a total legalizer, a little darker hue, and I advocate the spiritualness, and most of these yuppie types who run those organizations aren't into the spiritual arguments. They, and there's glass ceilings in their organizations too, and I can't break that ceiling. But with that, I'll end that one.
Well, it just seems to me that Malcolm X said it best, that if the laws that were on book were actually followed, there would be no need for more laws. Medical marijuana laws wouldn't be needed, because the law that says Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion, if you read Genesis 1:29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed that is upon the face of all the earth, every herb bearing seed. Cannabis sativa is an herb bearing seed. You don't have to be a scientist to know that. You just have to have common sense. So therefore, the first page of the Bible says every herb bearing seed. Man cannot therefore come at any point cannot come after that and say you can't have this herb-bearing seed when it was already stated on the first page. So I think that if we just followed the laws that were already put on the record, then, you know, because that's why I guess I'm not a medical marijuana guy, even though I use cannabis medicinally. After my car accident, that's all I've been able to use other than Oxycontin and other drugs that I'm not going to put into my body again because they are not good for you. I'd rather use something that comes out of the ground that the creator had already stated on the first page that he gave to us. And, you know, I don't consider myself a Christian because I don't buy into the whole Jesus Christ myth. I know now that that is just a fantasy and a fairy tale, that there was nobody named Jesus, mainly because the letter J wasn't created until the 14th century. So how did someone who lived, you know, 1,000 years before that have a name with the letter J? It's simple. He didn't. So this person is a myth. There was a Messiah who came, but it's not this Jesus person. And that's why the people who call themselves Jews now don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And they reject that because they know that that is a fraud, is a fallacy. But, you know, that is something that we could go on for hours, and I have before on this show forever. But, you know, I think the main point is that, you know, we need, if this country is going to say that it is the upstanding following laws, then we really need to get people to point out the facts that, hey, this is a law that you're not following. The Constitution has been, you know, places have done the Patriot Act and people realize that that goes against the Constitution. How come they can't understand that the cannabis laws are violation of the Constitution? I mean, directly, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. As a great host on Revere says, if you stay tuned, you'll hear him at 9 o'clock. But it's true. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It goes against the Constitution. So why? Why? I don't know. Why?
Do-gooderism. Run amok. That's what I say. It's do-gooderism. Run amok.
it really is.
Hey, with that, I'm going to go.
All right. Thank you so much for taking it.
I like to tell people to go to my website. There's a flyer on my website for the 420 event. Click on the flyer, and there's other details. I actually like to take hyperlink this interview to it too. But within the next couple of days, hopefully this interview will be right there too. And when you read the page, you can actually listen to this entire interview.
Great. We will do that. We'll have it all set up for everybody out there so they can get the word and know what's going on and be informed. We are the media. Don't believe what you see on the corporate news. You're going to get the truth right here. And in the corporate news, you're going to get the spin. But here you can hear it, the straight truth, not the edited, hacked up, laughing, joking that they're going to do on CNN. So thanks to our guest, Edward Fortune, once again. NJWeedMan.com is the website. Peace out. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned, because we got lots more Savior Generation coming up for you tonight, Wednesday, April 11th. Here's a couple songs to hopefully inspire you to go out there. And if you're not going to go to Philly this 420, at least educate somebody about cannabis and the truth. I know you out there right now smoking. Tell somebody the truth about it, that it's not something to be ashamed of. Because it's from who?
And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth.
Hello! Hello! My name's Terry and I'm a law abider. There's nothing I like more than getting fired up on beer. And when the weekend's here, I exercise my right to get paralytic and fight. Good bloke, fairly, but I get well leery when geezers look at me funny. Bouncing round like bunnies, I'm likely to cause mischief. Good clean grief, you must believe, and I ain't no thief. Law abiding and all legal. And who cares about my liver when it feels good? What you need is some real manhood. Rasher, burning casher, putting people's backs up. Public disorder, I give you public disorder. I down 8 pints and run all over the place. Spit in the face of an officer, see if that bothers you. Cause I never broke a law in my life. Someday I'm gonna settle down with a wife. Come on lads, let's have another fight.
My name's Tim and I'm a criminal. In the eyes of society I need to be in jail. For the choice of herbs I inhale. This ain't no wholesale operation. Just a few eights and some PlayStation's my vocation. I pose a threat to the nation. And down the station the police hold no patience. Let's talk space and time. I like to get deep sometimes and think about Einstein and Carl Jung and old kung fu movies I like to see. Pass the hydrator, please. Yeah, I'm floating on thin air. Going to Amsterdam in the new year. Top gear there. because I take pride in my hobby. I homemade bongs using my engineering degree. Dear leaders, please legalise weed for these reasons.
Like I was saying to him, I told him, fuck with me and you won't live. So I smacked him in the head and downed another Carlin. Bada bada bing, for the lads like. Mad fight, his face a sad sight. Vodka and snake bite. Going on like a right geese. He's a twat, shouldn't have looked at me like that. Anyway, I'm an upstanding citizen. If a war came along, I'd be on the front line with them. Can't stand crime either, them hooligans on heroin. Drugs and criminal, those thugs are the pinnacle of the downfall of society. I got all the anger pent up inside of me.
No, I don't see why I should be the criminal. How can something with no recorded fatalities be illegal? And how many deaths are there per year from alcohol? I just completed Gran Turismo on the hardest setting. We pose no threat on my settee. All the pizza's here, will someone let him in please? We didn't order chicken. Not a problem, we'll pick it out. I doubt they meant to mess us about. After all, we're all adults, not louts. As I was saying, we're friendly, peaceful people. We're not the ones out there causing trouble. We just sit in this hazy bubble with our quarters, discussing how beautiful Gail Porter is. MTV, BBC Two, Channel 4 is on till 6 in the morning. Then 6 in the morning, the sun dawns and it's my bedtime.
Causing trouble? You're stinking rabble, boys, saying I'm the lad who's spoiling it. You're on drugs. Really bugs me when people try and tell me I'm a thug just for getting drunk. I like getting drunk. Cause I'm an upstanding citizen. If a war came along, I'd be on the front line with them.
Now, Terry, you're repeating yourself. But that's okay, drunk people can't help that. A chemical reaction happening inside your brain causes you to forget what you're saying.
What? I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm perfectly sane. You stinking student lame-o, go get a job. Stop robbing us of our taxes.
Well, actually, according to research, government funding for further education pales in insignificance when compared to how much they spend on repairing Larry drunk people at the weekend in casualty wards all over the land.
Why, you cheeky little swine, come here. I'm gonna batter you. Come here.
You ain't the first son of a bitch to wake up out of their dream.
Thanks for sticking around and listening to Save Your Generation. It's Wednesday night, April 11th, and we're going to change speeds a little bit. Thanks to NJ Weed Man for stopping by and giving me that trucker's point of view and telling us about the protest coming up. But I wanted to play, since I didn't do, and I told myself I was going to do each holiday, do a expose, if you will, on the pagan roots of it, but I didn't get around to do it this time. For Easter, I've been so busy, I didn't get a chance to do what I've been planning to do, a lot of things. So what I'm going to do is play some clips right now from a show that did do just that, and it's a great show. It's a show that I support wholeheartedly in this message. It's one that needs to get spread more and more because it's not being spread anywhere else. No one wants to touch it. Everyone just goes along with it. No one wants to bring out the fact that it's all pagan. Just like the South Park episode, they all just want to say, "Ah, who cares? It's tradition. Go along with it." Well, if you're a pagan, then sure, that's not a problem for you. But if you're someone who believes, you think that you're following the Bible, well, you have to. This is, you know, there's only a. I'm going to go into that after these clips. The number of people that are going to be saved, because it tells you in the Bible. It says that I'll have mercy on thousands of you. Now, you think about thousands, you think that can't be right. He didn't know that there was going to be billions of people on earth, so he must have meant he'll save billions, right? Or did he really mean thousands? And there's 6.5 billion people on earth right now. So who's the few thousand being saved here? The people who go around and celebrate Christmas and Easter and say it's not a big deal? Is that what he means? So we're going to talk about that after I play this clip from this great show. So we'll be back in a few.
Back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, listening to the Repair of the Breach broadcast again. I'm Zach Daniel. We're going to talk a little bit about what the pagan calendar calls Easter, on what many today would try to attribute this day as the day of the resurrection of the Messiah, when in reality it is a outright falsity, a lie, misdirection, if you will. And some might say, but Zach, in Acts 12:4, it has Easter in my King James Bible. And so Easter has to be a scriptural holiday because it's in my current King James English Bible. Well, if you go to a new King James Bible, it's not there in Acts 12:4. But if you go to the so-called authorized version by King James, and it is indeed stating that Easter was the apostles' celebration. Now, that's not true. They were celebrating Passover. All the other translations got it right and put Passover or Pesach for the word Passover in Hebrew, Pesach. But if you look at every English version out there, everyone has it right except for the King James, so-called authorized version. The apostles didn't celebrate Easter because Passover does not mean Easter. I mean, you look at all the so-called Greek Strong's concordances, which, you know, you can get some pretty good information out of there. But the word Easter goes back to 3957 in the Greek Strong's concordance. But they're trying to give you a false definition stating that it's equivalent to Passover, and it's not. The two are diametrically opposed. Passover was the true, one of the true Hebrew feasts for the children of Israel, who, by the way, are the lost sheep, now known as many countries or nations, known as Gentiles, who have lost their way home and lost their father's name. And now Yahweh is calling them back out of the church system, calling them back out of the pagan church system and pagan feasts. And Easter was never celebrated by the apostles. Now, I'm going to read you something. You can read online if you like. It's out of a book called Fossilized Customs by Lou White. In fact, I'm going to try to get Mr. White on, hopefully on a future broadcast, and also a few others, hopefully in the next few weeks, get some special guest on this broadcast here on the Repair of the Breach. And but Lou White has wrote an incredible book called Fossilized Customs. We've alluded to it many times on this broadcast. You can actually read along if you're online. You can go to 3ws.fossilizedcustoms.com. And if you want to read this article along with me, or parts of it with me, fossilizedcustoms.com/Easter.html. It's on pages 12 through 14 from Lou White's book, Fossilized Customs. And basically he states concerning Easter, I'm going to quote him, "This word has been adopted from pagans as an attempt to enculturate by syncretism, or synchronization, a behavior that is absolutely an abomination. If you recognize, quote-unquote, Halloween for what it is, then this will be no different after you learn the truth. Easter was already one of the two biggest celebrations observed by pagans long before Christianity came along. It is my belief, Lou White's belief, that when this is exposed, it will fulfill the prophecy of Revelation 18. Babylon is still with us, but it is going to fall. Easter was celebrated by the Assyrians, the Phoenicians, and the Philistines." And he states Goliath no doubt had an Easter basket. Kind of tongue-in-cheek there. He goes on to say, "You should look up, quote-unquote, Easter in a Webster's dictionary and do further research in other sources. This festival involved the quote, rites of spring near the equinox of Venus, when pagans believed the Earth Mother was impregnated by the sun, S-U-N. They engaged in a ritual sex act and used symbols of fertility like eggs." Ever wonder why the Easter bunny is the Easter bunny? You ever wonder why the Easter egg hunts are happening in the church system, and for that matter, in the commercial world, for that matter? And why do they hide the eggs? I guess in pagan lore, I guess they hid the egg due to believing that the demonic spirits were attempting to retrieve them or confiscate their fertility rites, which symbolized their eggs, which was the byproduct of their, reproductions and so forth. And he goes on to say, when pagans believed, he said, this festival, Easter, involved the rites of spring near the equinox of Venus. When pagans believed the Earth Mother was impregnated by the sun, they engaged in ritual sex acts and used symbols of fertility like eggs, rabbits, and, quote, hot cross buns, end of quote. One of the reasons I'll interject the thought here about the cross, many believe the Messiah died on a cross. That's not accurate. It's not true whatsoever. In fact, the cross, this symbol, was a part of the sexual fertility rites, and it was known as the hot cross buns. Horizontal representing the female, and of course, the male representing the vertical. And the cross symbol predated Christianity. Christianity came into inception around the 4th century or so. People don't realize that. They don't understand that. But the Nazarene Israelites were the true faith of the apostles. Read Acts 24:5. Christianity is a Greek term, by the way. I want to continue to read here out of Lou White's book concerning Easter. Really, it's probably a better term would be Beaster. It's really a part of the bee system. That's really using commerce, to promote commerce and so forth. The Babylonian symbol, he goes on to say, Lou White in his book, for the female was and is a circle with a crux beneath, crucifixion or the cross symbol. The round cakes were baked for the, quote, queen of heaven, Regina Soeli in Greek or in Latin, and, quote, great mother or magna mater, with the, quote, cross symbol indicating the female. The cross also indicated the equinox when the Earth orbit, quote, unquote, crossed. When the Earth orbit, quote, crossed, unquote, the celestial equator. Now, he goes on to say, hold on now because everything will be just fine. This must sound so wild, he states. You may think I'm a heretic. But by the end of this, you will be very glad to have acquired the truth. And he talks about the rest of his book that it will shatter myths, and it won't shatter the rock of truth, but it'll shatter the myths that people have been basically accepting as truth. Let's continue on what he says in the second paragraph here. You can read along, fossilizedcustoms.com/easter.html. To ensure a prosperous growing season, pagans rolled eggs decorated with bright colors of spring on their field, hoping to imbue fertility. These eggs were then hidden from, quote, evil spirits in rabbits' nests, another symbol of fertility. The U.S. federal government does this very thing on the White House lawn every year on Easter Sunday. I'll just call it Easter Sunday. Beaster, or Easter, is the name of the Babylonian, quote, mother of harlots in Revelation 17. Ishtar, Isis, go on, many names, same pagan deity, Artemis, Diana, the symbol in the New York Bay there, you know, the one with the torch, symbol of ancient Babylonian Semiramis, which was the wife of Nimrod, by the way. I'll continue to read. Revelation 17, Easter is the name of the Babylonian mother of harlots, Revelation 17, and her image stands as the sun goddess, quote, Lady Liberty in New York Harbor. This colossal statue even has the, quote, tower headpiece as seen, worn by Artemis. The seven horns or sun rays should be a strong indication of her true identity. Her emblem is the flower of the lily, being illustrated in many places. An American society, the Easter Seal Society, you're probably familiar with the Easter Seal Society, uses the Fleur de Lis, which is French for flower of the lily, as their logo, and they have no religious affiliations whatsoever. At the statue of, quote-unquote, Liberty, there is a plaque dedicating the image to the Earth Mother Ishtar. That's how you get the word Easter. Ishtar, Isis, is all synonyms. Continues on, he states, most churches, quote-unquote, churches, decorate with lilies on, quote, Easter morning instead of inheriting the truth. They inherited Babylon. If we only study history as people, places, and dates without comprehending, quote, why, unquote, things occurred as they did, then everything is unorganized. It's a junk pile. When you assemble it correctly, it all fits together perfectly, clarifying the path we walk on. Satan, quote-unquote, disguises himself. He is quite often female. We know he was behind Nimrod as Molech, Baal or Baal, Mithras, and so on. But, he, quote-unquote, he is also Ishtar, a she. Sunday is, quote-unquote, his diversion. It's a lie. I refer to, quote, Easter Sunday, unquote, as Easter Sunday. And I totally concur. We don't have to wait for a, quote, beast, unquote. It's here right now. The patterns and appointments found in the writings are the ones that are snubbed, excused, and ignored. You will notice. Now, some might say, the word Easter is in my King James Version, and I've touched on that earlier. Remember, translations are not inspired, and errors exist by the tens of thousands in many translations. And I'll state this many times, probably more, and I'll state it again now. I am not attacking the inspiration of Scripture. I'm attacking the translation of the translators, fulfilling Jeremiah 8:8-9, where the lying pen of the scribes of Delta's falsehood. And the spirit of truth is still in the text, and we need the spirit of truth of the Father Yahweh to lead us and guide us into all truth. And we know the monks did monkey around with the manuscripts up in these monasteries on these false mandates by these popes who were ordering the people through their religion. That's right. The state created the church, and the church, the beast system, is two-pronged, as we've talked many times. It has the political side of the beast, and it has a religious side of the beast. And, of course, the religious beast, Easter, or beast has Easter, or Easter as a prominent pagan holiday. The devil has counterfeits for people to swallow up their time with. Instead of keeping Passover, which occurred about 3 weeks ago, and in fact, the only time that we were to take Passover was on the first moon, 14th day. And that was about 3 weeks ago. And the only other time when you could take Passover, because you were on the first Passover on a long journey, or according to Leviticus 23, number 6, I believe. I think also might be found in Numbers 9, Numbers 10, where it talks about if you were on a long journey or if you were unclean, then obviously you would take the second month, 14th day. That was the only other option not to celebrate the Passover. And, in fact, the Passover for the second moon, for that option he gave, and it was only for the two reasons that the options were given, was, again, if you were ceremonially unclean or if you were on a long journey for the first Passover. It wasn't just used as an excuse that you can just celebrate at any time or pick and choose what you wanted. But basically, Easter and Sunday, or Easter Sunday, basically had eclipsed Passover by the church because they hated all the true feasts, they being the Roman Catholic Christian Church. And many might say that Catholicism and Christianity is not the same thing, and we've touched on this many times, when in reality the Protestants are originally, the first Protestants were Catholics. They were protesting their mother, their spiritual mother, the Catholic Church. So that's why they were Protestants, because they were originally in the Catholic Christian Church. In fact, all the Catholic, in fact, if you were a Christian back then, you were a part of the Universal Catholic Church. And so they protested what? Something that they were attempting to come out of. And to say that Catholic Catholicism and Christianity are two separate things, well, it's like saying that vanilla is different than pistachio. It's still, you know, got Vatican vanilla in that Pentecostal pistachio, if you will, just to illustrate, or Butterscotch Baptist, or however. And I'm not trying to say this flippantly or blatantly or to offend anybody. You know, I'm not trying to cross swords or make anybody feel bad. I'm just trying to illustrate that this has been taught for years, that Easter is a spiritual holiday. And I would say, yeah, it's a spiritual holiday, but it's not the right spirit. It's a spirit of commercialism and paganism, as well as, you know, people say, oh, Zach, you're just a Scrooge. You know, wait till Christmas comes around. You're going to really hit... You're going to really hit that, too. Yeah, I am. I am, with all due respect. And I'm not trying to be a Scrooge, if you will. I'm just trying to be honest with you that these are lies, and if you speak the truth, people think you have to call other people names to justify staying in the pagan rites. And the father's just saying, okay, come out of her, my people. And he said, except you love me more than these, your mother, your father, your brother, your sisters, your Easter, your Christmas, all these other pagan feasts that he said to come out of. He said, except you love me more than all these, he said, you can't even be my disciple. So the truth is straight and narrow, and it's going to offend a lot of people. But the father does say, that great peace how they that love thy law or Torah, nothing shall offend them. So we don't speak to offend or hurt anybody's feelings. I used to be a Christian pastor. I used to be guilty of all these acknowledgments of these pagan feasts by celebrating them, even though in the back of my mind I was always wondering. Even when I was a Christian pastor, just to relate a little bit here, folks, even when I was a Christian pastor, I knew Christmas was pagan. I knew Easter was pagan. But it's amazing how we just go along with the program, you know, get along, and you go along just to get along, and you just assume that, okay, yeah, we all know it's pagan. But didn't realize back then that the name that was being so-called celebrated during Easter and Christmas was just as pagan, if not even more so, when all due respect, all of it is. We're going to get balls here, hopefully in the bottom of the hour, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. If you'd like to call in now, it'd be fine. But we're going to talk a little bit more about this article that Lou White has written. With this book, Fossilized Customs, you can go online and read it, at least a few excerpts of that book, fossilizedcustoms.com, and check it out. I've talked to him a couple times, really incredible scholar. I agree with him on a lot of points in his books, a few things I would probably differ and diverge, but nevertheless, he did get some great insights on these issues. He goes on to say that that the word Passover, we touched on that, was not included in the King James Version. And in fact, the only time the word Passover or Easter ever occurs in the King James is in Acts 12:4. And we know that's a monk monkeying around with that, adding to that. And they try to make it synonymous with Passover, try to make it the same thing when it wasn't whatsoever. It was two different feasts, one true, one false. And then he goes on to say, Luke, who wrote almost 40% of the Messianic writings, or the Renewed Covenant, what many call the New Testament, didn't put it there as, quote-unquote, Easter. The King James in Acts 12:4 is the only one with this error, since translators corrected it in all the other translations, which we alluded to earlier. There was a previous English translation made by the Catholic priest John Wycliffe during the 14th century. Pagan religions through time paralleled each other, carrying the sun, S-U-N, earth, mother, and child model from Babylon to Media, Persia, to Phoenicia, Egypt, Greece, Rome, and the Celts. The Medes cooked the mythology into Zoroastrianism, quote-unquote, Zoroastrianism, producing the magician priest called Magi. That's how you get the word magic, by the way. They worshipped Ahura, A-H-U-R-A, Haoma, H-A-O-M-A, and Ormzad, O-H-R-M-A-Z-D, as their trinity. And, of course, that's where all the trinity, pagan belief system of the trinity started in Babylon, and then Egypt got it. And, of course, we touched on this many times as well, Babylon to Egypt to the Greek Empire, of course, to the Roman Empire and to the Roman Catholic Christian Church and into the Protestant Christian Church that kept it from their mother. And then, of course, the Trinity, again, is something that is idolatry. I mean, to believe Yahweh is one and his name one, Zechariah 14:9 states, in that day, speaking of the last days and the end time, there shall be one Yahweh and his name one. And for those that tune in for the first time, every time you see the word Lord or God or Jehovah or Jesus Christ in your Bibles or Scriptures, it wasn't there originally in the Hebrew First and Renewed Covenant. The name of Yahweh, YHWH, Yod Heh Wah Heh, was in there over 7,000 times until they took it out. Basically taking his name in vain, violating the third commandment of the ten Yahweh gave to Moses in Mount Sinai. Of course, he gave many more. But the 10 words is the marriage contract or marriage covenant, the ketubah, for the bride of Yisrael. Remember, the father Yahweh only had one bride, and that was Yisrael. Never had a bride called the church. He's not a spiritual adulterer. Matthew 10, he said, I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael. And remember, Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 talks about the Gentiles being engrafted into Yisrael. So the church and Christian world have tried to separate themselves, saying, oh, no, that's for them, and this is for us now. Old Testament's for the Jews, and we're New Testament Christians, it's for us. And they're the ones that have reared these walls up inadvertently, not their fault, unbeknownst to them. But it was a spirit of Marcion, which taught that the first covenant Almighty, that they want to call Old Testament, the misnomer, was that the Almighty was an evil creator in the first covenant. Marcion teaching has now filtered into Christianity predominantly. And that the new covenant or renewed covenant was the Almighty Messiah was loving and kind and compassionate, and trying to make it two differential, trying to make two deities, a Trinity into a, of course, a Trinity originally. But the article goes on to state that pagan religions through time paralleled each other, and we touched on that a little bit earlier, but these trinities were definitely diabolical and idolatrous originally in practice. In other words, take a look at, like, for instance, the Greeks' main pantheon or pagan deity, had many deities, many idols. But the Greeks, quote-unquote, Zeus was their sun deity. Of course, he was a sky deity as well, whose mother was, quote-unquote, Lydia, also known as Rhea. That's how you get the word Rhea, legion or religion. Shown here riding, if you've seen pictures of Zeus, you'll see him riding, he'll be like a centaur. But his mother, Lydia, or Rhea, is also seen many times riding a swan. And she looks very much like, quote-unquote, Lady Liberty in the New York Bay. And then when you look at Athena and Ishtar on many different photographs, you can see this in Lou White's book. And basically those heads are basically the pictures of indications that they're basically one the same person of the pagan idolatrous belief system. Now, in the Britannica Encyclopedia in 1934, it states, quote, Easter, definition for Easter, Ostara, or E-A-S-T-R-E, or O-S-T-A-R-A, was the goddess of spring in the religion of the ancient Angles and Saxons. Every April, a festival was celebrated in her honor with the beginnings of Christianity. Underlined. The old idols or gods, I don't even like using that term, but you know what I'm saying, the old idols were put aside. From then on, the festival was celebrated in honor of the resurrection of quote-unquote Messiah, Christ, what they put here, but was still known, which is really never the Messiah's title, but was still known as Easter after the old, quote-unquote, goddess. So you see, this is not something that is conducive to being obedient to the Father. It's actually an abomination to him. Look at the contrast here. The Creator says, break down their altars. This is in Deuteronomy 12. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah, A-S-H-E-R-A, which is another word for Easter. But break down their altars, smash their sacred stones. This is what Yahweh the Almighty says to do concerning these pagan feasts. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah, Easter poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their deities and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship Yahweh, your Shaddai or Almighty, in their way. Deuteronomy 12. Be right back. You're tuned to Prepare the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel. Prepare the Breach here on RBN, publicbroadcasting.org. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Savior Generation. We are running out of time, so I'm going to try to fly through this. I'm going to talk like that Micro Machines guy really fast, because we only got a little bit of time left and a lot of information I wanted to bring out and point at. So All right, first, Zach said something at the end of that that was so true. You cannot worship in the same way as the pagan. It's just a fact. The Almighty Yah forbids it. And why wouldn't he forbid something like that? Just look at the way that the pagans worship. And they worship objects and things and not the Creator. And we need to separate ourselves from it completely. And if you're worshiping the same gods and the same name, that's specific, the same name, as the corporate church system, as these pagan systems, whether you think you're out of it or not, you're kidding yourself. Because by walking in their traditions and names, just because you don't sit in church every Sunday morning giving your pastor money so he can get a nice house and a nice car, but you still are using the same thinking that they're using of Jesus and these pagan customs and rituals and celebrating Easter and Christmas, and you are, hey, you're part of it.
Hey! You're part of it! You're part of it. Hey, you're part of it. Hey, you're part of it. I walk the streets of our Carolina, watching people pushing shopping carts, and there's a guy me, and he's washing windows, making $10 a pop, and he says to me, hey, you're part of it, hey, you're part of it, hey, you're part of it, hey, you're part of it. Trees on equal scale. History continues itself. Continues itself. History continues itself. And I did not create the rules. From all I've heard and all I've seen, this place has broken my American heart. From all I've heard and all I've seen, this place has broken my American heart.
You allow history to repeat and you follow in the traditions and pagan customs of our ancestors and our fathers, then hey, you're part of it. Thanks for tuning in to Save Your Generation tonight on revereradio.net. Please, 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 if you've got some money, go to revereradio.net and donate it to keep this station on the air, to keep this information and keep stuff like this being heard, because it's not being heard enough and it needs to be heard. The truth cannot be hidden for long, and here is the uncovering of it right now. It's happening. We are part of the revolution, the knowledge explosion that is foretold in the Bible prophecy. But Speaking of another Bible prophecy, which I really need to get into, one of these days I'm going to go in depth into this, the Mark of the Beast, something that is covered a lot by a lot of people, but I think this guy has it packed. If you want to check this entire episode out for yourself, it was this past Easter Sunday he did it, the republicbroadcasting.org for the archives. I'm going to play you another clip in here in this short time we have left on this episode of Save Your Generation.
It's about the right hand and forehead. It's a right hand agreement. And the forehead represents mentally assenting or acquiescing to the beast's government system, whether it be the political side of it or its religious side, by just being brainwashed, or just the old thing of the public fool system, being fooled into believing that these things are true. Same thing with the church. The church system is a lie, deception put out by the state for everyone to just go in, and because all the pastors are government agents if they're 501c3s. And they have their business meetings, and they have to take a census on how much you gave to that church and so forth. These are all political handles of the beast through the religious aspect of their control mechanism on the people.
Right, I can see that.
I mean, and that's why Christianity and the church was not the original faith of the apostles, because Christianity came into an inception around the 3rd or 4th century, maybe even prior. These were the ones that were the Pharisees and so forth. These were the ones that were teaching against the Torah. They were the ones that were saying to Paul and Shaul, well, did we not straightway preach, not to preach in this name? I mean, in a symbolic sense, in a typology, not in a literal sense. Because the same spirit is being possessed in the churches today and by the religious folks. When you start preaching the true name of Yahweh, which they all acknowledge, but right. Then they say, oh, no, we got to play to him in the name of Jesus, Lord and God and Jehovah, and they synchronize and committed idolatry, and it's unbeknownst to them. And I know, because I was involved with it.
Right.
So I'm not setting myself up, as I've tried to say this many times. Sincerely, people are deceived. You got to get out of that church system. You can pray anywhere. You don't have to go to a man. Pray to the Father alone.
Right.
I know. I used to be a pastor, and I'd like to have any pastor who disagrees with me to come on the air and let's talk about it. Give me, if you disagree with me, call. Call in. I'll give you airtime. We won't screen the calls. It's funny. I've given this encouraging word to many pastors, and none of them have called. We've been doing this broadcast for a year, and not one call have I got from a pastor yet.
I know that to be true. I listen.
I would
to
love
you
to have
the
them
time.
Call. silence is agreement, isn't that in the so-called legal system? I mean, isn't acquiescence?
Yes, silence is acquiescence. You know, it's.
I mean, I'm
agreement.
Not saying I got all the answers, and I made a lot of mistakes. Sure, but
well, that's how you learn.
Yeah, but if they think I'm wrong on it, please call me on it, because if I'm wrong, I want to hear the truth.
At least put you in a direction or show you something. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
There might be something they're missing, or there might be something you're missing. And
yeah,
they might have
something I don't see yet, and vice versa.
Right, exactly. You know,
but I know without a shadow of a doubt that the name, and they know it too. Their
right.
own Christian, they know it's not his name. They know that his name was never Jesus, that the apostles never celebrated Easter or Christmas. It's amazing that these Christian pastors, with all due respect, acknowledge that Christmas and Easter's pagan. But, oh, the name Jesus, oh, it couldn't be pagan. Oh, no. But yet Easter and Christmas is geared around worshiping a name that was never the Messiah's name, because it goes back to sun worship. That's where that name came from.
Yep.
So anything else, I mean, you really got me going tonight, brother, I have to say that. So you've been...
Well, at least you won't be bored.
Well, I'm glad you called. We got Mike in Kentucky, though.
Right,
with Wayne, thanks for the call.
Right.
Call again.
Thank you. Yeah, you will.
God will bless you, my friend. Okay, Mike in Kentucky, how are you?
I'm okay. What do you, by your studies, what are the components or indicators or activities involved in displays of worship? What are the components of or acts of worship?
Well, in the church system, they've got their liturgy, their set order, their traditions, their mode and mechanisms, or their...
Well, I don't mean the traditions or the rituals. I'm talking about what are the basic components of worship, because that is one of the main components of the mark of the beast. Is worship.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, the mark of the beast, yeah, he's going to cause them
to receive a mark. He's going to cause them to bow. But also, it's mentally agreeing and acquiescing, too. I mean, allegiance has a lot to do with worship. You don't have to bow down and say, okay, I bow down and worship you to be only partaking of worship. You can worship without ease, without having to bow down. By acceptance, by agreement, you pledge allegiance.
Well, that's what I've heard. A lot of the pleadings in the courts are essentially acts of worship. So you pray to the court.
Correct. That's absolutely right.
And
they want you to post bail, right? Ball worship. They're wearing a black robe, as Marx says, that they're lying lawyers in a black robe, right? These judges. They want you to post bail so you can go to jail.
Well, along that line, though, I don't think John the Beloved is necessarily the same man as John the Revelator, is he?
And from there they get into this long discussion, but very, very informative about the Vatican and England, how they play a part in this, and 9/11, and, you know, really great, intelligent callers. People who listen to Zachariah Daniel are real, real informed, and they're looking for the truth, and they got great questions. If you're not listening, you're not getting all the information that you could. You need to be tuning into that. Or, like I do, just go over to therepublicbroadcasting.org and get it from the free archives. It's great. Hallelujah. Yeah, for those. So, all right, we're running out of time on this episode, and we're winding down, but there's some great stuff brought up about the Mark of the Beast. I'm going to do a whole show on that one day in the very near future. There's just too much stuff to be actually covered right now in this short amount of time, so I don't know, should I play another song, or should I talk about... All right, I guess I'll just very briefly go into this. I don't know, I'm kind of confused about what's happening over on Revere right now. A lot of stuff over in the forums, and as they said in that short clip, Zachariah, that silence is acquiescence, is approval. So if you're not speaking out against something, and if you see it, then basically that's saying that you agree and you're part of this. So over in the Revere boards, I saw some disturbing stuff posted by people that's basically propaganda, the way that propaganda artists do, the way that disinformation is done. For example, if someone wanted to say that, well, the Americans are for the war, just look at the fact that they have people in the military, right? But then there's lots of people, probably more people, that are against the war and don't want to do this, but a propaganda artist would throw up pictures of the United States military and say, look, the United States people aren't for this war, look at this, they have people in the military. And that's kind of what this person has done in regards to slavery. Now, this is a topic that I've covered numerous times. It's a topic that many people don't want to touch because they know that there's something that's massively wrong that happened in this soil here in America. But some people... Now, these people might just be honest to goodness, sincere, but sincerely wrong, racists, and people who are just completely ignorant and think that they truly do believe that slavery was a good thing, and they think that black people liked it, or it's something that they deserved, or needed, or wanted, or had to happen. But, on the other hand, these people could just be complete disinformation who are spouting this in order to try to... I don't know, what would they try to be trying to gain from this? I don't know. But it's got me thinking that maybe I need to step away from Revere, because I don't want to be, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll just think about it. Maybe I'll take a hiatus, they say, as they say, a hiatus away from this. Maybe take a couple weeks off. I've done, I don't know, is this my 33rd show in a row? I think. 33 weeks straight doing a show every single week. That's just the type of person I am. You make a commitment to something, you go for it, and you do it to the best of your ability. You don't, you know, half-ass it. So, in order to keep continuing doing this to the best of my ability, it has to be something that I want to be a part of. And, you know, this is, the silence in this has made me think that, is this how everyone at Revere thinks? Is this what the people are like? Is this the type of network I'm associated with? I know that most of the people, the most of the ideas, most of the thoughts, the most of the opinions expressed in the other top two biggest networks are borderline racist most of the time. Example, as I was saying, the show started, the Power Hour thing. Very, very racist music. I wish I could have gotten it to play, but, you know, using a fake Mexican accent, man. That's racist. That's not funny. I mean, for the same way that people, you know, on the news, if you have a fake Asian, something that's derogatory, it's looked at as something bad. But this is just funny, I guess. Or I don't know. Let's, I don't know. I guess I'm done. Let's play another Zachariah clip. He says a lot of true things, a lot of good things. And I guess I'm done for the night. Save Your Generation, Wednesday nights, revereradio.net. Tune in, learn something new. You might not be here next week, though. Who knows?
Devil mocks at every stand.
Stay tuned for Rob Revere Live on the one and only revereradio.net.
Dogs of doom are howling more. Oh, they carry news that must get through.
Anyway, the beasts that you're talking about, I've also seen some fairly good analysis or comparison to the different Caesars of Rome that demanded worship. It's my understanding that until his so-called deathbed confession, Constantine received worship, and he supposedly established the Christian religion. But he still practiced sun worship in 300 A.D. when he developed the Council of Nicaea or whatever.
You're correct. You're correct. I mean, people say his conversion to Christianity wasn't real. Excuse me, it was fused with the true messianic writings, and it was hijacked, and it was fused with sun worship. So that's why they worship on Sunday and Easter like we're talking about tonight.
Even our New Year's is pagan. The god of Janus looks forward and backward.
Yeah, two-headed monster. That's right.
Janus Wary.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Mike, call again, Mike, from Kentucky. You're doing a really good job bringing out some points tonight.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks a lot, Mike. From Kentucky, we go to Robert in California. Welcome to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. We got about a few minutes here for you, my friend.
How's that?
Well, I think Judaism, when you look at it like currently today, when they've rejected the Messiah, rejected the renewed covenant, would be, with all due respect, is in a category of Revelation 16. There's three unclean frogs, like, or unclean spirits like unto frogs. And I say that with all due respect. I do believe that there are some true Yahudites. I don't like using the term Jews, but because that's kind of a misnomer. There's no letter J until the last 500 years or so. But the true fourth sons of Jacob Yisrael, I would say more Sephardic, but the Ashkenazi, when they claim bloodline, but they're not even Semitic, they're Ashkenazi. But even then, if anybody comes to the Messiah, regardless of your pedigree, the Almighty Messiah can graft you in and break down the middle wall partition. He said, don't be caught up in vainless genealogy, so he did warn about that at the same time. So red, yellow, black, and white, and brown, that was the coat of many colors of Joseph that he received from his father. He got the blessing. It wasn't Judah that got the blessing. It was Joseph. And Joseph's land would spread and push the peoples to their land in Deuteronomy 33. And it would be the greatest land. And that's the inheritance of Joseph, this land here that we call, what they call now, I've been calling it, America, which is now being ruled by the serpent seed government from the Vatican to Britain to here. And so that's why we've got to come out. The land is the most blessed. But the name and the system of the government is a beast, a fourth beast of Revelation. The Vatican's controlling everything, folks. Sure, Zionism is a false Zionism. Sure, the Freemasons are involved. But you're using all of those mechanisms to control you through the Vatican, through Britain, through here. Right. And that's why you see Virginia. That's why you see Maryland, Baltimore. Counties are not counties in Louisiana. They're parishes. You know, San Francisco at St. Francis. I mean, look at all the Catholic influence, folks. They've gone covert. They're covert. They're no longer overt, but they still control things.
Catholics, 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 who I gotta murder them.
murder, murder, Jesus.
Six, six, six.
Catholics, why gotta murder them?
Death is better than living on this earth with the unbelievers among us.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die.
If you'd like more information on the Savior Generation broadcast, or if you're just sick of all the lies, visit tiredofbeingalive.com. That's tiredofbeingalive.com.